Some surprising voices speaking up on climate change. From Marketplace, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Several high-powered CEOs say they're behind efforts to fight global warming. Corporate press releases expressing concern about climate change aren't that surprising these days. The twist here is these are CEOs of the world's biggest oil and gas companies. Today's announcement comes ahead of a big climate change conference in Paris next month. BBC business correspondent Russell Padmore is following this from London. Thanks for joining us, Russell.
Good morning, Mark.
Okay, oil company and solving climate change, we don't think of these things as going together. Is this just PR from these companies, or do they actually have something to add to this debate?
We have the bosses of some of the big companies in the global oil and gas industry today getting together to say that they do want to call on this UN summit in Paris to come up with some sort of concrete agreement to limit emissions. There's a division within the energy industry as well. The oil companies in the US have not teamed up with these big companies. Hopefully, for the future of our planet, there is going to be some sort of concrete agreement.
Well, let's talk about expectations for that conference more generally. What do you think we're going to see come out of that?
There's been a lot of talk about carbon emissions and the pricing of carbon. Now, I suppose you have companies involved in trading of these carbon emissions permits where they kind of agree they're going to do very little about it, but they're going to buy licenses from other companies. Many people would say at the end of the day, it's you and I, the consumer, that pays for it. If a company is going to suffer an extra cost, they're going to pass that cost on to you and I. This is one of the key things that needs to be sorted out at this summit, the pricing of carbon emissions. Very interestingly, these top chief executives get together today, they issue a joint statement, and yet they can't agree on that one key point.
BBC's Russell Padmore, thanks very much.
Thank you.
A lot of interesting economic numbers this week, and we put all those together and try and get a picture of what's going on in the world. To do that, we talked to FTN Financial's chief economist, Chris Lowe. Hi there, Chris.
Good morning, Mark.
So we got some disappointing retail sales numbers this week. And when you put that in the context of the low gas prices we have right now, it's a little bit surprising. What's going on out there, do you think?
Theoretically, when gas prices are low, you've got a little more cash left in your pocket, you ought to spend it. That's what rational expectation says. But we're not seeing that. When gas prices rose in July, we actually saw spending increase. When they fell in August and September, we saw retail sales slow.
And you're starting to hear more people out in the world of finance talk about this. What are you hearing?
There is a possible explanation, and that is so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. They fill their car because they have to get to work, but when they get that gas price relief, they save it because they know at some point they're going to need it later. When I wrote about that in a commentary this week, I actually heard back from a regional bank that said they've been tracking smaller checking accounts. And that's exactly the behavior they're seeing. So for those who are stretched, they're taking advantage and behaving in a way that maybe doesn't seem rational to economists, but actually makes perfect sense when you're struggling every month to pay the bills.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, as always, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
There are certain phrases that sound good, but when you stop to think about them, it's not clear what they really mean. In healthcare, we have patient-centered. A new report out today from the Urban Institute, the Washington think tank, takes a hard look at patient-centered care. It's a key concept in Obamacare. From our health desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
The term patient-centered appears in the Affordable Care Act some 40 times. It can often be shorthand for "we care about our patients." Study author Michael Millenson says, as we move away from happy talk to the world of regulations, we must be careful as doctors and hospitals start to get paid in part based on patient experiences.
Your physician is obligated by ethics to have a certain compassionate relationship with you. If we start to mix in economics with what's clinically best, we get a volatile mixture, and really nobody knows where that's going to lead.
Millenson worries if we aren't careful, doctors might move from the mantra, do no harm, to the customer's always right. Another new expectation, says Dr. Lisa Rosenbaum, is figuring out how to make tough decisions with her patients.
We're supposed to ask patients what they want to do without a good way to separate value-based decision-making from emotion-based decision-making.
Rosenbaum says sometimes patients are afraid and don't want what's best in the long run. How you juggle these dilemmas, says Rosenbaum, is far from clear. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Winter looms in American cities are ramping up efforts to help the homeless, largely by funding emergency shelters. In New York, where the homeless population is nearly 60,000, Mayor Bill de Blasio recently allocated $12.3 million to keep people out of shelters by helping them fight eviction. From our Wealth and Poverty Desk, Marketplace's Noelle King has more.
Walter Simpson calls his framed family pictures his wall of fame.
That's my niece Jasmine, and that's my mom and her sister who passed away, Aunt Suge.
He's lived in this two-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn since 1988, when he was a teenager.
When we first moved over here, you had, like, the drug dealers. There was a lot more crime. And when you went on the trains, for instance, you were worried about getting your chain snatched.
The neighborhood was affordable. Simpson's rent is just under $1,200. He's a customer service rep for Verizon, and that's doable. But then Brooklyn changed.
Bodegas that have the right across the street have been there for years. Now they have outdoor fruit stands.
Last year, his building was bought. The new landlord, Walter says, wants around $2,200 a month. Renaissance Realty, the company that owns the building, had no comment. Walter says that his previous lease offered him legal protection because of the way it was drawn up. But he lost in court. Nonprofit lawyers are appealing. But if he loses again?
Well, honestly, I don't know. I'm going to have to, you know, try to find a place that I can afford.
Multiply Walter's situation by hundreds of thousands of individuals and families in New York City.
That's Ron Rasmussen, the executive director of Legal Services NYC. It's a nonprofit that, among other things, provides lawyers to low-income people facing eviction. Around a third of New York City families in homeless shelters are there because they've been evicted. Legal Services NYC will get some of the $12.3 million the mayor has set aside for eviction prevention.
It's enormously helpful to the tenants whose evictions we're going to prevent. We think it's a fantastic thing.
Part of what makes lawyers so crucial is that New York housing law is complicated. As many protections as there are for renters, there are ways of trying to get around them. Veronica Cook at South Brooklyn Legal Services is one of Walter Simpson's lawyers.
The tenants, I think, feel very intimidated when they go into housing court. They feel like the system is stacked against them. It's a zoo.
At the moment, Walter Simpson at least has lawyers working on his appeal. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
Noel talks about the very interesting history of New York's homeless shelters this week on Actuality, our new podcast with courts. You can get that at marketplace.org/podcasts. And finally, in a few minutes, a storied airline brand takes its final flight. U.S. Airways Flight 1939 takes off from Philly, ultimately bound for San Francisco. The name goes away following the merger with American Airlines. Flight 1939, named after the year the airline was born. From the studios at Montclair State University today, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.